Well, oh happy day, oh happy day. This is our last session in our series, Soul Stewardship. This is part 8. I want to give a little review this morning and then we'll get into this text. And I want to reserve some time at the end for any questions that you might have concerning all of the sessions we've been through concerning soul stewardship. I would hate for us to leave this and just simply say, oh, that was good, or that was long. I hope that you have been able to integrate some of what we've covered through the weeks into your practical life. I think it would be very beneficial to us all. We have said that in reference to our makeup, that we have a body. We had a great conversation the other night with young guys at the men's fellowship, and I was trying to explain to them what we have been covering in these sessions, and I was so happy that they're trying to get their mind around this. So this is how I explained it the other night. I said, okay, let's imagine that you're just a body. You're just dead. You're just lying on the ground. It's kind of like Adam in Genesis 2. That's what Adam was. God formed Adam and he was just there. He had nothing in him, just a body. We all have that. The second phase of this is Genesis 2:7 said God breathed into his nose, his nostrils, and he became a living being or a living soul. So now his body is up and about, can move about. He can think, feel, and make decisions. But his soul is different from his body. Now his body has a soul in it, and his soul basically runs his body. If that man was to die, his soul would go to hell. Because we are all born sinners. We have this disease we have inherited from Adam. So if a man has a body and a soul and he dies, his soul will go to hell. If he, before he dies, he encounters Christ, the Bible says that the life of God enters into the individual. Now this man has a body, he has a soul, now he has a spirit. This spirit is created in the image of God. His spirit is perfect. Holy. Now, this spirit in the man is in charge, or should be in charge. And the soul, which is for all of us wounded, is now to be made whole, to be restored into its original state. That won't happen fully until we see Christ in his kingdom. But now, during our journey, we are in the process of what the Bible calls sanctification, which is the cleansing of the soul and the conformity toward the Son of God. We are being conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8 says. So that's the process that we're in. Now, I spent quite a bit of time talking about our complex makeup, that the soul consists of the mind, will, and emotions. We threw in conscience, intellect in there. But I have narrowed it down, and I hope we can work with this, between two general concepts, and that is the outer man, which is the body, and the inner man. The inner man, as we refer to it, or the inner person, is the soul, the heart of man, his emotions, everything that's considered part of the internal makeup of a man. These are spiritual in nature. So today I want us to look at a popular parable that deals with the condition of the soul. And we'll begin by looking at some verses out of Proverbs that refer to the heart. Now, again, when we talk about the inner person, we could use the term heart, we could use the term soul, and we'd be fine because they are both very much in the same ballpark when it comes to what these passages are referring to. So let's begin. Before we do, let's pray. Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us understanding. You would sort of tie in today all of the things that we've talked about the last few weeks. And Lord, help us to see that we are indeed stewards of our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. One more, chapter 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So again, we're talking about the inner man, and what happens on the inside of the person is going to live itself out through that person's life. So a sad countenance, discouragement, depression, these things are inner issues. Joy and excitement about life and about God are inner issues. So just by knowing this concept, we can sort of look at our life and say, man, what's wrong with me? Chances are we can trace it back to something within, because circumstances are not supposed to dictate how we feel and how we function in life. We are to do so out of obedience to God. So now let's look at the popular parable. We'll take it from Mark chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 3. Jesus is speaking. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. Thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's an interesting phrase. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this phrase implies a few things. It implies, number one, that the meaning of what I just said is deeper than the story I just told. That in order to really comprehend the meaning of what I just told you, you have to hear spiritually. In order to hear spiritually, you have to have spiritual ears. These are all things implied by this phrase. And the other thing implied by this phrase is, it is possible to have spiritual ears, but not hear. Spiritual ears come with your spirit. Spiritual ears come when you're born again. In fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and says, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. Only your spirit can hear from God. And your spirit trains your soul. Is that making sense? Okay, so he who has ears, let him hear. And now Jesus goes into the interpretation of this parable. Verse 13, he said to them, his disciples, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, interpreting the second condition of the heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The third condition of the heart. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Fourth condition of the heart. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So it's clear now that the parable has reference to heart conditions, or we could say the conditions of a soul. He is referring to the manner in which a soul responds to the Word of God. The manner in which our soul responds to what we hear from God. This parable is about how our souls respond to the Word of God. It's actually a parable about soul stewardship. So let's look a little closer at the conditions of the heart. The first condition that Jesus refers to is the people who are by the wayside, and as seed is being sown, as the word of God is being dispersed, it falls in their area. And it says the person hears the word. The word is, in a sense, planted, but before it can take root, Satan comes and steals it, snatches it away. So what we have here is an unguarded heart, an unguarded soul. It's someone that, like music in the background of a retail store, you're hearing the word, it's there, but you are not paying attention. Your heart is unguarded, so as soon as you hear the word, it is stolen from you. It never has a chance to take root, and therefore it never produces fruit. Satan has access to the word in your soul. For example, if you have heard sermons or even been in Bible studies for years and your life has never changed, then you probably have a soul in this condition. Because the word is there, but it never takes root in your soul. It never has the chance to take root. The second condition of the soul or heart that he refers to is the stony heart. He says here that the earth is shallow. It doesn't have much depth. Under that shallow earth is a stony heart. It's hard. It's calloused. And here, this person hears the word. They receive the word with gladness. They're not in opposition to the word of God. Probably have somewhat of a diet of the word of God in their life. But they have no root in themselves. See, the problem here is not God's word. The problem is condition of this person's soul. This person is unstable, inconsistent, impatient. They can't really discipline themselves enough to allow the word to take root. And when they face resistance, Jesus said, they fall. Now, it's interesting that he refers to this as a stony heart. And I thought, as I was going through this, what are some things that can make a person's heart calloused? What could make a person's soul calloused so that even the word of God is not able to produce its fruit in the person's life? And I just thought of a few. Unforgiveness is something that can cause your heart or your soul to become hard and calloused. Bitterness, being unwilling to forgive someone or even unwilling to overlook an offense. Deep-seated anger that goes very deep into your soul. You may not be able to trace it, but it's there. And just with any little amount of stimulation, your anger rises to the surface. Unconfessed sin, deep hurt. Deep hurt sometimes causes a person to go into a shell. They won't let anyone come close to them. Their heart is hard, but it's not because they're bad. It's just because they've been hurt and they're trying to protect themselves. But in so protecting themselves from other people, they are blocking out God as well. So the word of God doesn't have the effect it could have. They're glad to hear God's word. They receive it. They embrace it. But when it starts to take root, that's where the work is. That's where sometimes the pain is. Something within them pushes it away. They won't allow the word of God to do what it can do in their life. Unconfessed sin can create hardness of the soul. And this happens a lot. This happens when people have done something or something was done to them and it's a secret. No one knows about it because they don't want to tell anybody. So they cover this thing up for years and years and it's unconfessed. They've never told anyone. This can cause your soul to grow hard and calloused, and the word of God won't have its effect that it needs to have. And then rebellion towards God can cause hardness of the soul or the hardness of the heart. So these are some of the things, the enemies, that cause you to have this condition of the heart or the soul. Now, I want you to know something, that this condition is not permanent. It's not permanent. If you say, well, you know what, as you described that, I realize I've got a hard heart. I'm calloused. I'm not allowing the word of God to do its work in me because of some bitterness or whatever the case may be. It may be something off this list. So you realize, wow, I'm doomed. No, you're not doomed. You are a steward over your soul. Your heart, your soul is in this condition because of your choices. And if you choose to remove these hindrances and obey God, then the word of God will have free course in your life, in your heart, in your soul, and it will produce fruit. But as long as your heart is hard, your soul is stony and calloused, then the word of God won't have that effect. You can soften your heart. Here's only one reference to this in the Old Testament. Hosea 10:12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Notice the connection here between a hard heart and unrighteousness. Notice the connection between God coming and showering upon you and righteousness. So a hard heart, a calloused soul, has some connection to unrighteousness, to disobedience, to not allowing God's word to have its way in your life. This can change. You can change that. I can change that. But the end result, of course, is God's word doesn't produce any fruit in your life because your soul is calloused. Condition number 3, choked by temptation. Jesus said these hear God's word, but there are 3 primary enemies that work against you. Number 1, the cares of this life. That could be a number of things. The deceitfulness of riches, the desires or lusts for other things. And Jesus said these enemies come in and choke the word. The word choke means to strangle completely or to drown or crowd out. So these things, lust, greed, anxiety, discontentedness, these things come into your soul and they take root and begin to choke out the word. We could probably say that this is the recipe for backsliding, for someone drifting from the Lord, from someone who at one time, really the word of God was producing fruit. It was real. But because of these enemies and the choices to allow them in your life, the word of God now is just a distant memory. The good old days have passed. Good news is, this is not a permanent condition. It's not a permanent condition. Your heart, your soul can change because you are a steward of your soul. So the word of God in this case can be in your life. You can read and study his word. You can sing about it. You can even tell others about it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't produce fruit. Thing about this heart is, Jesus said it becomes unfruitful, which implies that it was fruitful at one time. The last soul condition is what Jesus calls good ground. And this is the condition that God desires for all of us. And that is the word of God is heard, we hear it, we accept it, we believe it, we embrace it, and the word produces fruit in our life. That's the good ground. That's where God is leading us, to where his word is producing fruit. Not necessarily you or me, but his word. Now I want to note here again, this is not a permanent condition. This can change. You can actually get to the place where you've removed obstacles for the word of God, and now the word of God's producing fruit in your life. But if you allow the enemies of the soul in, like lust and greed and the things that was described in the other heart condition, then you will go back to one of those other conditions. So we might say that the soul and its condition is fluid. It changes. It doesn't have to be in one category forever. In fact, it isn't in one category forever. This is why you can't ever take for granted the Holy Spirit in your life and think, well, you know, he blessed me in the past, he'll bless me now. No, there's no guarantee of that. He will bless you if you will listen. He will bless us if we pay attention. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I want us to go back and see our basic responsibility over the condition of our souls or the condition of our hearts. And that is, God's word produces fruit. This is so critical to understand this. If I believe that God's word produces fruit, then I'm going to have intake of his word. And I have to realize that just because I bring it into my soul doesn't mean there's a guarantee it will produce fruit. I have to be aware that there may be things in my soul that will work against the word of God, that will choke it out, that will not allow it to take root. And it's my responsibility to tend my heart, to guard my heart, to defend my heart against the enemies of the word of God. Because I have to understand, if I'm going to have fruit in my life, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I have to take in the word of God and I have to make sure as best I can that nothing comes in to choke it out and to destroy it. So we have to be aware as quickly as possible, when we become aware that there's something working against us and against God's word. We have to, as quickly as possible, address that. So there can be issues from the past that will hinder God's word from producing. There could be present issues that will hinder God's word from producing. And there will be the opportunity for future issues to choke out the word of God. But you are a steward of your soul. You must feed your soul with the word of God. You must defend your soul, guard it. You must maintain it. And you must address sin in your life as quickly as possible. Because sin is destructive. It's going to destroy you. So God wants us free. He wants us whole. So where are you today? You don't have to answer me. Just answer yourself. What condition is your soul in? Is your soul hard, calloused? Do you have good intentions with God and His Word, but you have so many things in your life choking it? It's crowding it out. Or is the Word of God producing fruit in your life? Some 30, some 60, some 100. That fluctuates. That's a question that we need to ask regularly. Periodically, we need to say, Lord, what is the condition of my heart? This is the purpose of the soul budget, for you to see what things in my life are income categories working for me, what things are expenses, what debt do I have that I need to take care of, and in what ways can I invest for the future in my life spiritually and in this area of soul stewardship.